With some medical conditions, you get a bit of time to decide on care. If you feel lousy enough to stay out of work on Wednesday, you might see the doctor on Thursday. But a few conditions demand immediate medical attention, like a heart attack. Delay in treating a heart attack can lead to serious complications, potentially including death. Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center in Medford recently received accreditation from the American Heart Association as a Lifeline Heart Attack Receiving Center. Let's find out what that means. Two guests are with us. Chris Honore is a heart attack sufferer from Ashland, and you may know his name as well from being a correspondent for the Daily Tidings. And Dr. Kent Dotterman is with us as well. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Good to have you both here. Chris, tell us about what happened to you.
Well, I had been swimming. And left the pool and was actually eating an apple and heading down into Ashland, where my wife has a bookstore. And by the time I got to the bookstore, I mentioned that both arms were sort of feeling strange and tingling. And she took a look at me and just said, okay, we're going to emergency. And she didn't hesitate, got me in the car. I probably would have sort of rationalized it and said, no, this too will pass.
Right.
I'll be okay. And I probably just wolfed down the apple too quickly. But that didn't turn out to be the case. I ended up at Ashland Hospital emergency, and they did an EKG and decided better get over to Rogue Valley Regional ASAP. And next thing I knew, I was in an ambulance on my way to meet for the first time Dr. Dotterman.
And what were they telling you on the way to the bigger hospital in the ambulance about what they thought was going on with you?
You know, they had given me something to really relax me. And so
so the memories were a little hazy?
I barely recall that the siren was on and the trip there, because I was pretty relaxed by the time I got there.
Now, Kent Dotterman, I understand from some of the materials we've been provided here that that Chris was suffering from a STEMI heart attack.
Right. So STEMI means ST elevation, myocardial infarction. That's the big heart attack. There are all types of heart attacks. There's small, medium, large, catastrophic. That's a big heart attack where one is having actual ongoing damage to the heart muscle due to a complete blockage in one of the coronary arteries. A lot of people can have what we call angina or angina. And that, which is simply a warning sign, doesn't mean you're actually having heart damage. But when Chris appropriately went into the hospital, his wife took him into the hospital he was having. I was looking back at his notes, and he was having chest pressure going down both arms. When I saw him, he was sweaty. He got the electrocardiogram at Ashland Community Hospital. There's a certain appearance to the electrocardiogram that all of a sudden says there's injury going to the heart muscle. And the system-wide response is called the ASSET program. It's like the trauma program, but it's the ASSET program, and they notify us emergently. They also notified Ashland Fire to transport Chris emergently to Rogue Regional Medical Center, directly to the cardiac catheterization laboratory, where we had a crew ready for him. We probably have about 175 patients a year who have major heart attacks who are brought directly to Rogue Regional Medical Center. And it's because there's a blocked artery, a blocked coronary artery. And these coronary arteries are the fuel lines to the heart muscle. And if you get a complete blockage in one of the coronary arteries, then there is no blood flow down to that portion of the heart muscle. And that portion of the heart muscle can die, can be damaged. And so time is muscle. The goal is to get that artery opened emergently, to restore blood flow to the heart muscle, to salvage the heart muscle, or as much as you can. The alternative is if you don't, you can get unstable heart rhythms and people can die abruptly. You can end up with congestive heart failure, something called heart block, where your electrical circuits start working, and people can die abruptly with heart attacks or end up being crippled and end up with congestive heart failure. So the goal was to get Chris there quickly.
Is the heart muscle tissue different from any other muscle tissue? Is it just a matter of, like, if you stop the blood flow to any muscle, you're going to get the same sort of death of tissue?
It is similar. It's a little different because it has electrical circuits that run through it. It's similar but different. It has some specialized characteristics to it. But the key thing with all muscle is if you don't have blood flow, all muscle requires blood flow to it. So if you cut the blood flow off to your leg, your leg can die. And some people actually, if they have poor circulation of the leg, their legs have to be, either have to correct the circulation with a bypass or a stent procedure, or some people unfortunately end up with leg amputations. So it's the same, it's similar with the heart. It needs blood flow to it. And this blood flow, and people get confused about the blood flow. When the heart pumps that red oxygen-rich blood into the aorta, you know, the blood comes back from the lungs, goes from being blue to red, it gets oxygenated. The blood comes back to the heart then pumps the blood out to the aorta. 10% of that blood comes straight back to the heart muscle through these coronary arteries. That's the only job they have, is to carry blood to the heart muscle. And as you get older, you can get blockages in those arteries due to plaque, atherosclerotic plaque, hardening of the arteries, whatever you want to call it, it's all the same process. But it happens, you know, the biggest risk factor is getting older. But there's a whole variety of things we do in life, especially as Americans, that can lead to these blockages.
Well, that's an interesting perspective to pause on there. We're talking about heart care with Dr. Kent Dotterman from Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center and Chris Honore, who was a heart attack sufferer a couple of years ago who was treated there. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Things we do as Americans, like eating bacon and lots of hamburgers or something?
You got it.
Okay.
Things that taste good. If it tastes good, you have to look at it carefully.
Okay. Now, Chris, you said you were eating an apple that day. Am I going to guess you ate a few things? What do you think led to that? From what you've learned from your doctors, is it some family history of heart issues or your own diet or stuff? I mean, you said you were swimming, so you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I was eating a fairly, what I thought was a good diet. I didn't stop too often or rarely ever at a place like Wendy's or someplace or Fry's. But you know, it's. Like Dr. Dotterman said, I was definitely getting older, but the other is that it was probably an accumulation over the years of stopping at places like Wendy and a different type of lifestyle.
And just to add to that, I mean, the biggest risk factor for heart disease is getting older. Chris looks great. He's 70. The second thing is he's a guy. But the big things, which are, you know, smoking is bad for you. Diabetes is really bad for you as well. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, what you eat, do you exercise? So a whole variety of things, depending on what you do. There's always this injury healing going on with your arteries. And what you're trying to do is minimize the amount of injury you have. So you take care of your blood pressure, make sure your cholesterol is good, get some exercise, eat reasonably, don't smoke. And that minimizes the injury, and then hopefully you have more healing going on over time. But, you know, we've had people who are 50-year-old vegans who exercise, who have big heart attacks. But I'll tell you, the most likely thing, and what we know is if you take a population of patients, folks who smoke, folks who have diabetes, folks who have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, don't exercise, don't take care of themselves, are at dramatically higher risk of these major heart attacks.
And so, Chris, you were saying that they don't remember a whole lot because of they gave you some pretty decent medication. But, I mean, at some point, your concern must have equaled that of your wife's and perhaps surpassed it when you were getting the EKG and people were starting to say, you know, we probably need to move you.
It did. That was a real reality check for me because they were great at Ashland Community. They were really terrific, and they really evaluated me quickly and efficiently. And when the doctor came in and said, "You're having a heart attack," I just said, "Really? Seriously?" And because I wasn't feeling any of what might be classic symptoms, like my left arm and or a lot of chest pain, mm-hmm. or pressure. But, yeah, they said, once they said that, they said, "Then it's time to get you out of here." And I just said, whatever it takes, I'm good.
So, Kent Dotterman, what's the general measurement here? I mean, is time the big one? I mean, you really want to make sure you get the procedure to clear the blockage done in a very timely fashion.
Yeah. So, time is muscle. You want to get a
kind of like time
artery.
Is brain with the strokes. I remember. Yes.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Same thing. So, the sooner you get the artery open, the sooner you reestablish blood flow, the more heart muscle you salvage. And what Chris is talking about with his symptoms. When he talked about the chest pressure, those are kind of the classic symptoms you read about in the, you know, medical textbooks. You know, 50% of people have the elephant on the chest, the pressure, the tightness, the squeezing, feeling like there's a rope around your chest, heartburn, those types of symptoms. And that's only 50% of people. About 35% of people have shortness of breath, maybe some jaw discomfort, arm discomfort, indigestion. It's hard to tell exactly what's going on. A lot of times there's this impending sense of doom. And then 15% of people just might feel not well at all, but you're not sure exactly why. And that's called silent myocardial ischemia. So some people, not everybody has the classic symptoms. There is no neon sign that goes off saying this is a heart attack. I mean, if you have the big elephant on the chest, okay, that's, but it's not always like that. And women, more so than guys, don't have the classic symptoms as often. But even guys, it's not always clear cut.
In the procedures that are set up at Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center, which everybody still struggles with the name because some people know it as Rogue Valley Memorial Hospital, some know it as Rogue Valley Medical Center, but here we are, ARRMC. Is there a continuum of care so that the ambulance attendant, for example, will be able to explain on the way to the hospital what's going on? So, I mean, you mentioned the team was ready. Right. So how does that whole thing get triggered?
Yeah. So with heart attack care, it's really a system-wide response. And I'll say we actually are very fortunate to have the system we have in the state of Jefferson. It's actually one of the better ones in the country. It was actually recognized as one of the top 10 ones early on. Through a lot of work, a lot of collaborative work. There's a lot of good collaborative work in the medical community that goes on here, and that goes from paramedics, all the hospitals in the area, and then at Rogue Regional. And Dr. Brian Gross has spearheaded a lot of that. But basically, if you're having chest pain, paramedics, whether that be in Jackson County, so with Ashland Fire or with Mercy Flights or Rogue, or out at Rogue River, or at AMR out in Josephine County, even down in the Fairchild area, and even out
in
to
Wairica.
The coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have folks coming in with heart attacks all the way from the Oregon coast, out at Sutter Coast Hospital in Curry, all the way down into Fairchild. Occasionally we'll get folks from Lakeview.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, whether that be the emergency room doctor or the paramedic, as soon as someone's having chest pain, they'll do an electrocardiogram. And if the electrocardiogram shows a certain type of heart attack, the system-wide response will be activated. And there are always two cardiologists on call at Rogue Regional Medical Center, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and a cardiothoracic surgeon. We get activated right away. The paramedics make the activation, or the ER makes the activation. The cath lab, the cardiac catheterization laboratory crew, if it's in the middle of the night, they come in. Or if we're there working, we'll clear out of the lab. So when patients, by the time they hit Rogue Regional Medical Center, everything is ready for them. Or if it's in the middle of the night, it's mandated that, and we've set it up that everyone has to respond within a certain period of time to get there. So patients, as soon as they show up, they're brought straight back to the cardiac catheterization laboratory. I was looking up Chris's response when he showed up. From the time he showed up at Rogue Regional Medical Center to the time we had the balloon inflated in his artery, it was 16 minutes. So it's really quick. And what's done is Chris was brought in, talked to him, I looked at the electrocardiogram. The whole time there's four people in the cardiac catheterization laboratory, nurses and techs getting him set up. He's put on a table, cover him up with a blue sterile sheet from his neck down to his toes, give him a little local anesthetic, put a little tube in the artery, and similar to an IV.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in the artery, you can travel all the way up to the heart. You don't even feel it. We place a catheter, a soft hollow tube, into the artery, inject some contrast dye. We see where the blockage is. He had a 99% blockage in the artery on his right side of his heart. So he had reestablished. That had probably been occluded a little earlier. They gave him some medicine at Ashland, opened up the artery slightly,
mm-hmm.
let a trickle of blood go through. We did a balloon, put a stent in, and then we took him up to the cardiac intensive care unit. And
Chris, how long were you in the hospital?
I think all told it was 4 days,
mm-hmm.
intensive care. And then I was moved to another room and monitored by Dr. Donnerman and staff and nurses and so forth. And,
so 2 years later now, how are you feeling and what's your level of activity versus what you were doing before?
My level of activity is exactly what it was before. I'm still eating apples and swimming, and I don't feel any different. But I do know that my wife reminds me, and I would totally agree that if you're going to have a heart attack, there could not be a better place to have it happen than in this area with staff and doctors like Dr. Dotterman. It was just amazing. And once it's over, you can look back and in retrospect say, you know, that was really thank God I was here.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, it's a success story, and I'm glad to have you here to be able to talk about it. Chris Honoré is a heart attack sufferer from a couple of years ago. Dr. Kent Dotterman is an interventional cardiologist, helped treat him at Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center. One of us had to make that mistake. Just recognized by the American Heart Association as a Lifeline Heart Attack Receiving Center. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.